This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thank you for being here. Another busy week of Inside Douglas County. Thanks for making it a part of your day. State Representative Court Boyce joining us now. In fact, our first conversation with him as a state representative. We've talked to him before in the past. Court, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Kyle, thanks for having me on. Appreciate the opportunity.
Well, first of all, let's talk about your background prior to your recent appointment to the Oregon State Legislature.
Well, born in Gold Beach, lived there my entire life, lived this very fortunate life on Rogue River, going up and down every year or every day for 40 years and a wilderness lodge, and retired and ran for county commissioner, Kyle, back in 2016. And so I did that for 6 years and fully dedicated. And now I find myself at the state capitol. I've had a lot of experience up there over the years, served on the Marine Board for 8 years, legislative assistant. It's an important part of our culture, and making laws is a tremendous responsibility.
Now, I'm curious, of course, just to set things up for people that aren't putting the pieces all together, your appointment followed kind of a chain of things. State Senator Dallas Hurd resigned. Ultimately, David Brock Smith moved from being state representative to state senator. That opened up his position, which you now have. I'm curious about what led you to decide to exit to county government and move to state government?
Well, honestly, it was a decision that took 3 weeks for my wife and I to determine it was the best thing for us, the best thing for our citizens and our state, everything in general. You know, I was Dallas Hurd, David Brock Smith, Coos County Commissioners, certainly the Douglas County Commissioners, all easy to follow. They're dedicated. And I just seemed to be the logical person with my background and experience that, you know, needed to go up there, roll up the sleeves, and frankly, get in a pretty tough arena, Kyle.
Now, what is it like jumping into the session a couple of weeks after it's already started?
You know, I'm going home for the first time in almost a month. It's, you know, I was very determined, my staff, to get us from the starting line 2.5 weeks late, right up to where we feel like we're pretty well caught up now and ready for April, which is one of the two busiest months of the full session, of course. And so, that was very intense, but that's what we signed up for. And, you know, it's been fun. I've met some incredible people, both sides of the aisle. I'm surrounded by rural legislators and leaders that totally sold out for doing the right thing, highly principled, and it's just an honor to serve with them and be around like-minded people and stay focused for the job before us.
Now, you mentioned being a legislative aide in the past. Tell us about that and when it was.
You know, I retired from the river in 2008, and somebody said, you got to go back to the Capitol. My first cousin is Bev Clarno, first Republican woman to be Speaker of the House back in 1994, later went on to replace when we lost, Dennis Richardson for the Oregon Secretary of State. So that's been in my family. Chris Boyce, I have a first cousin, Alan Boyce, was in law enforcement in Curry County. My father, the famous sheriff. My grandfather, parent of 12 children. And he was the longest serving Curry County commissioner of all time, 1930 to 1948. So, you know, if my dad and grandfather were here right now, the first thing he'd be asking is, are you earning your paycheck? So that keeps me on my toes.
Now, since you started a couple weeks into things, did you end up essentially assuming the committee assignments that David Brock Smith already had, or did they shift a bit? Where did you end up?
You know, of course, that goes to the Speaker of the House, which is the other party. But it was kind of a combination, Kyle, of assuming David's committees, and yet they and also going on the housing and homeless committee. That's I've been working on housing for at least four full years of the 6 years I was Curry Commissioner, working with Coos County, Douglas County, and other county, coastal county capacities. And so that was a good fit. Natural resources, that's what I've done my whole life. I'm very solid in timber management. My number one issue the entire 6 years from the Checo Bar, Klondike fires, Archie Creek fire in Douglas County, that's due to poor forest management and way over restricting on the level of timber harvest that we can do. And so that's natural resources, water, land use, agriculture. I'm just very, very grateful to be able to serve on those committees, and I believe I'll be able to contribute considerable. And so far, that's the direction we're going.
Now, what spurred this interview was a couple of days ago, you put out a release regarding legislation that has got some national attention, Senate Bill 603. Tell us about it and why you object to it.
Oh, excuse me. You know, guys my age, we look around, we don't recognize our country anymore, and that's what puts us into public service and politics, and hoping that we can stop bad policy, that we can push back against horrible bills, that we can stop government overreach. And the state of Oregon, as you know, is controlled by the other party, and nothing shocks me anymore. So that Senate Bill 603 is to give each and every one, as long as they qualify, and of course that's an arbitrary definition, $1,000 per month through 2005. And I don't have a lot of gray hair, but if anything would give me gray, it would be that. And there's people believe that that's good policy. There's nothing responsible about it. Even if it was a good idea, we can't afford it. It's just part of that bad policy sequence that continually comes on our desk, and we just have to rally the troops and say, this is the nicest thing I can say is borderline insanity. So, yeah. And you know, then another one, if you have the time there, is felons being able to vote from prison. I don't think I need to spend a lot of time on the irrationality of a law like that.
I want to talk a little more about Senate Bill 603. Of course, this has been proposed at different points as a national idea by some along the way. It has never garnered traction. But what do you, as you read it, what are the folks that are advocating for it, what do they believe it will do to improve our current situation regarding homelessness?
Well, they have no argument that's got any legitimacy to, you know, logic, and they know that. But it's somehow a feel-good thing, and I don't want to be too brash here, but it's an emotion that they believe. You know, some of them would believe it'll get them reelected, and it gives them more power. It gives them more of the voting electorate, and. So, but you know, the reality of it is it will increase drug use. It goes back to Measure 110, which is the promise of pot that has just been a total collapse in responsible government. It's something the state can't afford, and it's bringing us more dependency on drug use and more homelessness. And, you know, I want to, like anybody else, I have a heart to help, a heart to make a difference, and yet we got to go upstream and see what the problems are and deal with those first, not just throw money at something that will only complicate the problem. Now, that's my strong person.
Now, this program would have about $25 million to work with for a two-year period. It would be capped. Once you start something like that, what do you think happens after the 2 years?
Well, that's the point, and you do have the correct figure there, the $24-25 million. The governor has a similar project, and it can be sustained, and it's part of the financial collapse that You know, maybe that's too strong a word. There's billions of dollars that this state has, but you know, I was raised that you account for every dollar, and you are incredibly cautious and vigilant in how that is spent. And so, yeah, you know, a lot of friends have written me an email, and some constituents as well, and said, this is not for real, is it? And it is hard to believe. And so, no, it cannot be sustained.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Stand by. Court Voice with us. State Representative, the interview of podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. We'll be right back. 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson coming at 1 o'clock. Join us from Umpqua Valley Live this afternoon at 4, looking at arts, entertainment, community events, and we've got some live music even this afternoon as well to help you get ready for the weekend. On Mondays, Inside Douglas County, the new County Solid Waste Director, Nick Freisinger, will be in studio, and Court Voice with us now, State Representative in District Number 1. And that covers Coos Curry and part of Douglas County in court. Which areas in Douglas County are you representing now and under this new appointment?
Primarily Winston, all the way to Coos County, a little bit right up to the border, south border of the city limits of Roseburg.
And, of course, as we mentioned earlier, you've just been in for a few weeks, and we've been talking about Senate Bill 603, which would give homeless or low-income individuals $1,000 a month for 2 years. What are your thoughts about addressing the homeless situation, and what kinds of things do you think should be coming from state government in that arena?
You know, it may sound too basic. I think you got to go back to the incredible relaxed attitude we have about drug use in this country, and especially our state. The district attorneys and their staffs just have a tremendous struggle trying to keep it all together. And it's a generalization that we even tell our kids it's okay. Don't do tobacco till you're 21, but we'll just turn our back as you smoke marijuana. One out of every five becomes addicted. You know, the guy's on his back porch after work. Nobody cares about that. He's a functioning, responsible person. But the kids, what it's doing, how lacking in being functional as they grow into adulthood. So I think it starts there, and then the relaxed drug laws that we have in this state, and we wonder why we have mental health issues. We wonder why we have people walking up and down the street screaming at the top of their lungs. And it puts a tremendous pressure on our medical staff, our law enforcement. You know, the whole Measure 10 was designed, Kyle, as you know, to really boost mental and behavioral health. And we've not accomplished that. And it's you see what's going on in Portland right now. People are exiting that beautiful city. Once was a beautiful city. By the hundreds, there's 700 homeless camps in you know, our lead city in the state of Oregon. It's just heartbreaking. High taxes, high crime, and a homeless issue that's just out of control. What I do, I think you've got to start keeping the families together. You've got to go back to our education. You've got to warn kids what the consequences are, the curiosity. They just have to be really coached and mentored. And homeless camps, there's a lot of people come with the idea of, you know, campgrounds that could be managed, strict guidelines, well monitored. You know, there's things that we can do, but we got to stop with the drugs.
Now,
number one.
It is early in the session, but where is this measure right now in the discussion point?
As far as 603, well, obviously it's not going to get any traction whatsoever with Republicans. We are in the minority, but we're not seeing a lot of the moderate Democrats as well, Kyle, that want to sign on to that. And again, our side is going to roll up our sleeves and pull those moderate Democrats to, you know, clear thinking. And, you know, I don't think it'll get out of committee, but again, wouldn't surprise me. It depends on how hard the governor pushes. But we're ready for that battle. We don't want to see our country, our state turn into, you know, poverty, and that's what it will bring.
From your
we're just going to push back as we can.
From your perspective, how important is it that it be defeated?
Well, I'll never give up. I'll never be fatalistic, but it's everything we stand for. And it's the opposite of the kind of legislation that we should be promoting and putting forth for the public. It hardly serves the taxpayers. It hardly serves the citizens that need law enforcement to want good neighbors and pay their taxes and do the right thing.
Got about 3.5 minutes left here. Talk about other things as you've jumped in as a new lawmaker in the past few weeks. Is there legislation that you're already working on?
You know, I mentioned water earlier. That's going to become a bigger and bigger issue in Oregon. Water rights, the whole Water Resources Department 100-year plan. So that's I hope to be a very big part of that committee, and I have some background there. I will always be, you know, fire season, Kyle, is only 3 months away. And we know how fast things dry in our state, our landscape, our climate here. We know how fast things grow, especially fire fuels. And so I served on the Association of ONC County Board of Directors for several years, and that group is really tuned in to fire prevention, awareness, response, suppression, recovery, and we just want to get the public ready and never get complacent on the level of fire danger that we have here. And ultimately, to the extent we do our job and keep the public on their toes, without saying the sky has fallen, we'll save lives.
What do you have as kind of the main goals for your work during the session?
You know, in order for us to appoint more moderate or even conservative judges, we're going to have to get control of the state house at some point in time. We're going to have to get control of the governor's office. We're going to have to stop the outgration of people moving from Oregon. We need them to stay here and dig in and work for the future of their kids and grandkids, and a lot of them are. We have a super South Coast delegation in Goodwin and Osborne, certainly David Brock Smith, and so that's a pretty tough foundational nucleus, and so we're to get the work done, we've got to pull people across the middle aisle and get them to rational thinking. Again, it goes to education, it goes to veterans issues. Those are both right in my area of long-term work.
What has surprised you most about how the legislature works since you got there?
You know, there's some pretty good manners going on right now. excuse me. And so that's a good sign. When things get down to the bills that we're going to dig in against, that probably will go out the wayside. Not from our side, I don't think. Our people have a lot of professionalism on our side, a lot of class. Not saying the other side doesn't, but, you know, we're going to be pretty much water off a duck's back, water off a beaver's back, if they call us names or what have you. We're standing up for the citizens, especially rural Oregon.
All right, out of time for now. We'll talk again soon. State Representative Court Boyce, thanks for being on today.
Thanks again. Appreciate KQEN.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.